Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts and lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this going to last? And you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every sin. I'm not who I used to be. Oh, I am redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Names by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every sin. I'm not who I used to be. Because I don't have to be your man inside of me. Since day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same. And a whole day will carry me home. Oh, I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every sin. I'm not who I used to be. Oh, I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every sin. I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. Oh, I am redeemed. Oh, thank you, Lord. And now I don't have to be the old man inside of me. This day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same. Home they will carry me home. And now I don't have to be the old man inside of me. This day is long dead and gone. me free. So I will shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. 'Cause I've been redeemed. Well, thank God, redeemed.
This isn't what my sermon is about, but this scripture come to me while we were worshiping the Lord. You know, you're very familiar verse of scripture, but so much power in it. Psalms 46:1, the Word of God says, God is. You know, I love it that God's always present tense. You know, a lot of times we think about people and we think about situations and we think, boy, that was good, or that would be nice, or all that, but our God is. Amen? Our God is what? He's a refuge. He's your shelter. Amen? He's my shelter. We may not have anybody else. We may not have anything else, but God is our shelter. And notice this. In that shelter, it says that He is strength. You know, if you and I, if we'll go to that place where God is, the strength of the Lord will come in your life and will come in my life. That's all what we're all looking for. We're looking for the strength to live our life. That's why the Apostle Paul said, you know, probably one of the most quoted scriptures of all time, Philippians 4:13. He said, in whatever situation I'm in, I can handle that situation because it's not me handling it, it's the strength of Jesus. Amen. He said, I can do because my God is. I can do because my God is. I can do all things through Christ because He is. He is. Don't you love that? That He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. A very present help. So, you know, whatever we need help in, He says, I'm here. You know, sometimes I've needed to get a host of certain people and you know, they might have been in their own problems or their own situations, and I couldn't get them. But there's never been one time that I needed to get a host of the God that is, that He didn't show up. Amen? So I encourage you tonight, mark that scripture in your Bible. Keep it close to you, because we need to renew our mind to that truth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles to the book of Romans. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. And I'll tell you what's on my heart. On my heart is the understanding that we need to mind our mind. We need to mind our mind. Your mind is the most powerful gift that God has gave us outside of salvation. Through the advancement in the technology of science, they've able to come to a situation where they can use a computer and they can run your mind through magnetic reasoning and imaging, and they can determine that there's up to 100 trillion thoughts that your mind can hold at any one time. That is amazing. We get all excited about, boy, I got a terabyte hard drive on my computer. That's nothing compared to what the Lord God Almighty has done for you and done for me. And they say that anywhere between 60 and 80,000 thoughts in a 24-hour period goes through your mind and my mind. Now, do the math on that. That's anywhere from 2,500 to 3,300 thoughts per hour. That's a lot of thoughts. You know, that's why Jesus admonished us. He said, take no thought about your life. Take no thought. Don't be anxious. In other words, He said, don't be anxious about any one thing. Because, see, we can get bogged down and we can miss God because God's talking to us. And all the struggle in the mind is hindering us from hearing what He would say. Amen? I said all that just to get into the way, the direction I feel the Lord would have us to go. Romans chapter 8. You know these scriptures very well. Let's just start at verse number 1. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore someday, now, present tense, amen? Right this moment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who live, better translated, who live not in what the flesh says, but live in what the Spirit of God says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Come on, say, that's me. Glory. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk, who live, not after the flesh, but we live after we live by the Spirit of God. Now notice, then this is, I want you to concentrate on these next two verses. Verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What's the connotation? Verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but what does God say? But to be spiritually minded, come on now, life and peace. Hallelujah. To be spiritually minded, that's you and I tonight, is life and peace. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Thank you for your presence in the life today, Lord. Thank you for the prayer that you've answered today, Lord.
Yes.
Ask at this time that the Holy Spirit come up into our hearts and into our lives, Lord, and come into our minds, Lord, that still our mind upon you, Lord, and open our hearts. The very change, the very budget of our mind, the very
spiritual
structure, being open and pliable to you, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you so much for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for praying. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here tonight, and I'm excited because God is, He is on the move. Amen. Well, just think about what happened last Sunday night, what happened this Sunday morning. Those are going to be normal occurrences. Amen. God is getting ready to reveal Himself in a glorious way, because you and I are going to learn how to walk in this truth. We're going to learn how to understand and exhibit the glory of God like never before. And His glory is going to shine. His light's going to shine through you. It's going to change you, and it's going to change everybody around you. Amen? But while this truth is happening, the Spirit of God wants to prepare us ahead of time that the devil is going to come, and he's going to attack your mind, my mind, to keep us from that place of freedom, that place of liberty, that place of victory. And so tonight, the Spirit of God is wanting to just get us one step ahead of the devil. Amen? You and I, we're not dragging behind. Come on, we're not living on yesterday's stale manna. We're living moment to moment, and the Spirit of God is the one that feeds us. Amen? So I want us to look at some things tonight. I want you to be so encouraged. Now, remember what we opened up with about how many thoughts that you hold and how many thoughts that you think about, how you add to those thoughts or you reaffirm those thoughts. We know what the Bible says. The Bible is very clear. Proverbs 23:7, as a man, as a woman, as a boy, as a girl thinks in their heart, so are they. So the devil, of course, wants to build up high places, vain imaginations in your life and my life, to get us to think contrary to what God thinks about us. The devil wants us to think about what we failed in yesterday or last week, last month, last year. God is the God of now. Amen? And when God looks at you, He looks at a heart that's hungry. I believe tonight every one of us, we're hungry for the Lord or we wouldn't be here. Amen? And so When we're hungry for the Lord, that's what God's looking at. That's what He's looking to. And He's wanting to grab us by the hand and pull us closer to Him, where the devil's wanting to build a wall of lies that would separate you and I from the goodness and the grace of God. He wants us to stay in the realm of works, of what I can do, what I need to do, what I didn't do. Let me tell you, 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus Christ done it all. He done everything for you and I. He done everything for whosoever will. So your confidence is in the finished work of the cross, in the risen Savior, not in yourself. Amen? So let's look at this. And notice what he said in verse number 5, Romans 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the flesh, the things of the flesh. Now this word mind here, phronio in the Greek, it means to exercise the mind. See, the devil wants to keep you and I where we're getting stronger in the things of the flesh, where we're getting stronger in the things of the world, where we're getting stronger in his negativity, in his lack, in his hurt, in his anger, and all of these things. But you and I, we are going to encounter those things. That's a fact. That's no doubt. But from the inside, we have a source of truth. Amen? Put your hand right here on your belly. Lift your other hand to heaven and say, thank you, God, that I have a source of truth. Come on, inside of you, Jesus said when you become born again that he was going to put the Spirit of truth in you. And Jesus said that Spirit of truth was going to lead us and guide us into all truth. Come on, every day you and I, we need a fresh dose. We need a new revelation. Every day we encounter, yes, the same old tricks of the devil, but they have a new spin on them. They have a new angle. They have a new way of working. And we need the truth to be able to what? To mind the things of the Spirit. And so tonight, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're struggling with, the Spirit of God wants to point us to Jesus. He wants to help us have that mind that was in Jesus. He wants to help us to renew our mind and put it in ourselves. Amen? So I want us to be so encouraged. Now notice what he said. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Yes, I've done been through all that. I want to go to the next part. Amen? I want to walk in the newness of life. What's the newness? Look at his promise. We're not stuck there. He said, but they that are after are they that mind the Spirit, exercise their mind toward the Spirit, big S, not little s, capital S, Holy Ghost, then the things of the Spirit is what you're going to get stronger and stronger in. The things of the Spirit is what I'm going to get stronger and stronger in. See, it's not no big deal how you and I can come out of defeat, how we can come out of depression. They spend millions of dollars on research trying to help people break out of bad habits. You ought to sometime, and our time is very valuable, and I don't want you to waste it, but just if you just want to learn some things that would encourage you to see how good God is, you could look at a study, how much money they spent trying to figure out how to help kids not to chew their fingernails. Now, that seems so simple and seems like it's not important, but it is important because that is a symptom. That's anxiety. Come on, there's something troubling them and bothering them, and they spend millions of dollars how to figure out how to overcome that when there's only one way. Amen? His name is Jesus, and the gift has been bought and paid for. Free. Free. Amen? They want to take and put something on the nail that'll cause the kid to have a bitter taste and turn away from it. That's not going to stop it. You and I, we all have bitterness. Come on. But Jesus is the sweetness of life. He's the answer. And if we'll give him our bitterness, he's going to give us sweetness that will replace that. Amen? Now, I want us to look at this. This is so exciting to me. Look what he said. He said that, but to be spiritually minded, in the last part of verse 6, is life and peace. Life and peace. That means tonight, I can look at any situation in my life, and where it doesn't have the Zoe, the God kind of life, the promise of Jesus Christ in it, all I've got to do is just stop and say, Lord,
right now, you have gave me a report. Your report is that I'm supposed to have life and I'm supposed to be in the place of surrounded by peace. And I don't have that. So would you give me a thought that would cause faith to come where I can step out and possess that? Because you are a very present help in time of trouble. You're my refuge. I want you to surround me and I want your strength to come up in me. Amen? All of a sudden when we do that, the glory of the Lord falls on you, falls on me, the anointing comes up inside of us, and when they commingle together, all of a sudden there's a liberty that takes place. There's a victory that takes place. Amen? The question is, every situation of your life and my life is, I've got to make a choice. Who am I going to believe? Every situation, who am I going to believe? Hold your place here. Go to the book of Isaiah. I just thought about this just a few minutes ago. Isaiah chapter 53. We know part of the verses, but we usually miss the first verse. Isaiah 53, verse number 1. Notice that God asked this question through the prophet. Isaiah 53, 1. Notice what the Word of God says. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, you and I, we know what the arm of the Lord is. The arm of the Lord is salvation. It's deliverance. It's victory. It's the provision of victory in your life, in my life, over every attack of the enemy. Amen? And he said, who gets to see the arm of the Lord? The person that believes the report. Come on, now this word believe is not the typical word that we'd see for believe. It is the word that is amen. Who will say amen to what Jesus has already done? That's all it takes. All it takes. This morning, Brother Duckett come up. He had prayer for a bad back. His back was hurting him. His back is not bad, but the devil said it was. His back is not in pain, but the devil said it was. Amen? He come and he stood up and he raised his hands to the Lord. He opened up his heart and he said tonight, what was your testimony, Brother Duckett?
I said it's gone.
It's gone.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Will you believe his report? He's reporting what Jesus done. Amen? He's testifying what the Lord has done. But the only way I can receive and partake of that is I've got to believe for myself. I can't go on his faith, but I can let his testimony encourage me and point me to Jesus. Amen? Oh, glory. Who hath believed? Who has said amen to the report? What's the report tonight? The report is that I was lost and undone. I was dead in my sin and I had no hope. Amen? And the Spirit of God drawed me, just like He drawed you. And I accepted that drawing power, and I said, Lord, I call on You. I asked You to be my friend. I asked You to forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord, be my Savior. And all of a sudden, He said, I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to be your shepherd. I'm going to shepherd you. I'm going to take care of you. Because when the Lord becomes your shepherd, come on, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. There's no lack in Him being your shepherd, amen? When you call on Him and you allow Him to be your God, that's more than just being saved from hell. That's coming into the family of God, and that's having an entity that is your Creator, that's your Father, that's your Savior, that's your Deliverer, your Healer, your Provider. He's your all in all, amen? That's who He is, but we've got to believe that. And He paid the price for you and I. What's this report He's talking about? Jump back up in the 52nd chapter and look at the last two verses. This is what it says about Jesus, what He done, His report, what He done for you and I. Verse number 14, Isaiah 52:14. As many were astonished, they were stunned, they were amazed in the Hebrew. They were amazed at thee, at Jesus. Why? Because His visage, Jesus' appearance, look at this, was so marred. The word is disfigured. So disfigured more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. so that he sprinkled many nations, what, with his blood. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. Jesus Christ was beaten and placed on that very cross for you and I. That's the report. And that sacrifice that he done for us was to take care of every need, every situation for us. Now, we'll get into this in just a minute, but Psalms 22:6 comes to mind when we're talking about this. Psalms 22:6. Now, Psalms 22 is the Messianic Psalm of the day of Christ. We're living in the 23rd Psalm, amen? But in the 22nd Psalm, verse number 6, look what it says. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee, verse 5, and were not confounded. But here's what it says in verse 6. Jesus, talking about Jesus. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of all people. Verse 7. All that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip. They shake their heads, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Verse 9. But thou art he who took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And it goes on and talks about in verse 12 about the bulls that compassed him. The demons is what it's talking about. But look at verse 14. He said, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Now, in other words, Jesus is talking about his life literally was poured out on that cross. That's why he looked up into heaven and he said, my God, my God, why has thou forsaken me? And he said that not because God had forsaken him, but he fulfilled Psalms 22. When he made that statement, immediately that told you and I, we need to go to Psalms 22. And we need to see that it's the prophetic fulfillment that Jesus fulfilled every jot, every tittle. And he died on that cross that you and I could be forgiven, that we could have a relationship with God. That's what we need to have in our mind. Let's exercise our mind toward that truth. Amen, toward that reality. Okay, with that being said, go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Now, I want you to know that the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved, right? We know that. But when you call upon the Lord, then you get to a place where you're born again, you're born from above, you're believing the reports. But just because you get saved doesn't mean that everything's going to be fine and dandy. When you get saved, you become a blimp on the radar of the devil, and he wants to do everything he can to get you to back up on your testimony. Amen? He wants me to back up on my testimony. So he attacks with fiery darts, with fiery missiles from the Greek, Ephesians chapter 6, trying to get into your mind. Amen? That's why you have to have your shield of faith. You have to have on the helmet of salvation. You have to be that soldier that is ready, because your mind has to be protected. Now, notice what Paul wrote by the Spirit of God to the church at Colossae, Colossians 3 and 1. He said, if you didn't be risen with Christ, how many is risen with Christ tonight? Come on, that simply means that you called on him. You asked him to be your Lord and Savior. That means that you come up. Amen? You're not in heaven yet, but you are. Come on, you're living from heaven. Amen? When you are born again, and so we're risen with Jesus, and he said, because you're risen with Jesus, look what he says. He said, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, this is exciting to you and I tonight, because that means the moment that you got saved, the moment that I got saved, we're in a place where we can seek, we can exercise our mind, we can train our mind on the things that God has for us. That's a good place to shout. Because Jesus made this statement. He said, let what? We're to pray that let God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So God wants you to have now the vision and the plan of heaven here on earth. He wants you to be able to lay back and go, man, there's more month than there's money, but I got a Savior in heaven. He promised to meet my every need. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to exercise my mind toward this reality. What's the reality? Philippians 4:19. But my God, my Lord, my Savior, my Shepherd, He shall, not maybe, He shall supply all of my need according to His riches. Oh, glory. Now, wait a minute. Oh, I could run just a little bit. He did not say that He was going to meet according to my need. Oh, come on now. We limit God and we say, oh, gosh, if I can just get this water bill paid, if I can just get this car payment paid, and then everything's going to be all right. God don't want to stop at the water bill. He don't want to stop at the car payment. He said He would what? Look at the word. Oh, anyway, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches. His riches. He wants to bless you out of His riches, not out of your need. Tonight we all have needs, and we concentrate on the need, and we miss the glory of God. The glory of God is, I want to come into your home. I want to live in your home, and I want to meet every need that you have, not in your mindset, but the mindset on the other side of the cross. Amen? God wants you to be able to rest knowing that your children have got angels around them. Knowing that you have the ability, the authority to put those angels to work to take care of those children. To go with them where you can't go. Amen? To bring in what you can't bring in. Come on, we all need things that we can't take care of ourselves. But we try to get self-sufficient. We need to be Holy Ghost sufficient. Amen? Let the Lord do what only He can do. Set your mind. Set your mind. If you be risen with Christ. That word risen means roused from the dead. Come on, I'm not dead anymore. I used to be dead and lost and undone in sin and trespasses. I used to be controlled by what the enemy said. You used to be the same way. But tonight, we're not dead any longer. We've been roused from dead, and we're alive. And He told us to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Come on now. He's sitting on the right hand of God. And it says in Hebrews 7:25 that He ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. Jesus is praying for you to receive tonight the new mind in this area. A new thought to train, to discipline your mind. My mind. See, 2 Timothy 1:7, we need to translate it just a little bit different. Make it just a little clearer. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And what? A sound mind. And it, that sound mind is that you're able to control it. Self-control. Self-control, because it's not you that's doing it, but it's you and the Lord together, because you and the Lord are one. Amen? Come on now, the devil says, no, no, no. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because Jesus said, you're going to abide in me, and I'm going to abide in you. You can't get any closer than that. Amen? Hallelujah. So He helps us. Now, notice what He says in Colossians 3:2. He said, I want you to set your affection. Exercise your mind, that frontio, same word. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, can I encourage you tonight? I don't want you to make the same mistake I made for 20 years. 20 years begging God about a certain thing, a certain need, taking that to Him when He's wanting to deal with the whole picture. He wants me to get my mind off. See, what I didn't recognize and what I didn't realize, can y'all, don't laugh at me now, okay, because without God, I'm pretty stupid. I kept looking at that need, that situation, and I didn't realize that I was bowing down to it, making it so big I couldn't see over it, I couldn't see around it, couldn't see under it. But all of a sudden, when I said, Jesus, whatever you say about it, I'll exercise my mind in that direction. Amen? All of a sudden, that thing shrunk just like sticking a pin in a balloon. It went down, and right there was Jesus with His hands wide open, and He had what I was looking for all the time. Amen? Come on, that's all we've got to do, is let the Lord put in our mind what He wants for us. Not what we think we need or we got to have, because you're risen tonight. Amen? You are a child of God. You are, the Bible says, that you're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? And so being an ambassador, that means that whatever you sign for, Jesus backs up. Come on. Oh, shandalabasi. Okay, I see it. Psalms 45:1. Sister Victoria, this is how you sign for it. Psalms 45:1. My heart is indicting. It's on fire. Amen. It's burning with the Holy Ghost. Amen. My heart is indicting a good matter. I'm going to be thinking on the good things. Amen. Not the bad things. I speak of the things which I have made, touching of the King. Notice this. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. What am I going to say? What are you going to say tonight? We're going to say what God puts in us. Amen. And when we say it, when we speak the Word of God, we send the Word of God out, it is a ready writer. It signs the name of Jesus Christ, paid in full. Paid in full. What do you need tonight? We're not talking about name it and claim it and getting all in the flesh. We're talking about what you and I would have from heaven tonight. Amen. What God would do in you. What He would do in your family. What He would provide for. We're living so below our means because we don't think God will do it. God is willing. God is able. God is desiring to do it. But I've got to have a mind to receive it. Amen. I've got to have a mind to act upon it. Okay. All right. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Why? Verse 3, Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, there's two things that you and I need to look at real quick at this. There's good and there's gooder. Okay? My life is hid in Christ. Now, here's my life, and it's got all kinds of mess on it. But because I called on the Lord, because you called on the Lord, then all of a sudden, there's a reality of the things that happen. Amen? Go with me to Psalms 51. Now, this is the Psalms 51 is the prayer of David when he got in a mess. Anybody ever been in a mess? Now, see, he got in this mess with Bathsheba. And he needed help. Well, we've all been in a mess, and we've all needed help. But there's an answer to that. Amen? Now, remember, he said that we are dead, and our life is hid. Amen? Psalms 51, look what happens. Verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to thy loving kindness. His loving kindness is infinite. Amen? His grace is sufficient. It's enough. Amen? According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my... Come on, it's fishing to get better. He's going to go beyond blotting. Look at this. Verse number 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Oh, glory. Now, come on. We don't have time, but there's a difference between sin, transgression, and iniquity. But God takes care of it all. Amen. Come on now. I had iniquity in my life. Come on. That was something that I could not control, that dominated me, that is so much worse than sin. Come on now. It is like you're stuck in a rut. You can't go backwards, and there's only one way to go forward, and we know where it's leading. Amen? But we got a God who will take us out of that and hide us from it. Notice what he says. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. God takes care of transgression. He takes care of sin. He takes care of iniquity. Why? Verse 3. For I acknowledge. That's all God's looking to. He's looking at us to say, Lord, I know I messed up. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before thee. Now stay with me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, remember, God, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now notice this, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, here is why we came here. Verse number 9. Hide thy face from my sins. God doesn't see it anymore. God doesn't. The devil comes and said, boy, you know when you did this or when you said that, you look boldly straight up into heaven and say, I don't know what the devil's talking about, Lord. Do you? Come on now. And what happens? Your tongue is as a pen of a ready writer. You spoke it out. Jesus signs what you have spoken. Amen. It is done. It is finished. I've exercised my mind toward the truth. And the devil cannot work on you in that area, work on me in that area again. Amen. Look at the next verse. What happens? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Come on, this is what God does for us. This is what He does. You've got to believe it. I've got to believe it. Do we believe it tonight? Yes, we believe it. Amen. We're exercising our mind toward this truth. We're coming out of these little things that the devil would limit us. See, the devil all the time tries to tell us, you're not worthy to do that. No, I'm not. But Jesus made me worthy. Amen. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Come on now, we have been made free from all of these things to do what God would have us to do. Acts chapter 1, this is what we've got to get out of this mindset. I mean, we're all looking for the Lord to come. And we want Him to come, amen? But here's what Jesus says about it. Notice in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is just give the last instructions, and in verse number 9, Acts 1 and 9, and when he, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they, the disciples, beheld, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, two angels, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, they could say it to us tonight, why stand you gazing into heaven? So many people are waiting on the quote-unquote, on the sounding of the trumpet, waiting to go to heaven, and they're not doing and being what God called them to be right now. Thank God we can look into heaven, but our job is look into heaven and see what the will of the Father is. That's what Jesus did, and do it. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. So it's all right to look into heaven, but they were just standing there. And that's what a lot of the church is doing. Oh, you're going to hell? Well, that's too bad. I'm listening for the trumpet. Don't bug me. I ain't got time to mess with you. I'm going some. Are you? Are you? You better be careful. Jesus said, I'm coming after a servant who has what? He has his loins burning. In other words, he is on fire about the master's business. But if I come back and I find my servant that is what? Eating and drinking with the world. Now, I'm not judging. I'm just telling you Scripture. You do with it what you will. But why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Now notice what happens. Verse 12. Then they returned in Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. They went and they got busy. They got in the place to what? To receive the promise. The Holy Ghost tonight is getting you and me in a place to receive the promise. Come on now. I'm talking a fresh blowing of the Holy Ghost on your life and my life, because we have a mind to say yes to God. I want to do what you want me to do. I yield to you. Amen? Real quick, go with me to 1 Timothy. This is how I got here. I heard these words as clear as I heard Brother Donnie pray just a moment ago. 1 Timothy chapter 4. What are you giving yourself wholly to? What am I giving myself wholly to? We've all read the Bible. But meditation has been on my heart, and I've been studying it, and I didn't think the word meditate was really went into great deal in the New Testament. I thought it was mostly Old Testament. And so I heard the Holy Ghost say this: what are you giving yourself wholly to? And I knew I had to find the Scripture. Amen? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look what he says in verse number 15. Meditate. Exercise your mind. This is a different word, but revolve. Let this revolve in your mind. In other words, you take and you turn over and over and over. Just like if you were seeing the earth turn on its axis, you see the Word of God turning. Because every time the Word of God comes back around to you, you see something that you didn't see before. Amen? Meditate upon these things. Give thyself what? Wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Give thyself wholly to them, that they may be in you and you may be in them. Amen? That you're profiting, that you're pushing forward. God wants you to be so bright that you light every area of your life. And every area of those that he sends to you. Amen? Profiting. Progress. You're not going back. You're not going down. You've done went over because your faith is in Jesus. Amen? That's the reality. Now, what am I supposed to think on these things? These things. Verse number 12. Look what he said. He said, let no man, let no person, let not the world despise thy youth. And of course, Timothy was somewhere between 35 and 40 years old, history tells us. That was considered a young person at that time. But let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Now mark that down in your Bible. You've just been named, labeled an example. Now the word example, the first time I ever found this Greek word, I got so excited when I started teaching Sunday school back in the mid-90s. This word example is a Greek word. It's tupos. And it's a die. If you've got a die and you stick something in that die, what comes out every time? Amen? Come on, the die reproduces itself. The Word of God is your die. Jesus Christ is your die. He's reproducing himself in you and I with your special calling, your special gifting, with your attitude and actions that is special, that is unique to you. Amen? Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all, that why? That you can be a tupos, an example, a die of believers. Now notice, this is what you're supposed to give yourself wholly to, in word. Logos. The Word of God, not the Word of man. We spend so much time, and it's okay to go to people and say, well, what do you think about this? Because godly counsel is good. Worldly counsel is not. Don't go to somebody who is not close to the Lord. See, can I be honest with you? And you can snicker at me if you want to, but I'd go to the person I knew that would tell me what I wanted to hear. I just wanted to hear what I wanted to do. I wanted, hey, well, they said. You know what I got into? A mess. Godly counsel. Amen? But start with the reality that you can hear from God for yourself. But if you need some help, Go to a brother. Go to a sister. But pray together. Amen? And let God speak to both of you, because He'll confirm it. There won't be no mistakes. Amen? All right. But in word and in conversation. Come on. But this word conversation is not speech. It's behavior. Right. Behavior. I'm to influence. You're to influence the people in the way they act. The reason why we're in a mess that we're in, the church is just... We've got to stand up. Your opinion counts. Your voice counts. Just because somebody's louder than you don't mean that they're more important. Doesn't mean they're right because there's a majority. The Bible says that hell is enlarging itself. That means there's a majority that's going to hell. They're not right. They're wrong. Amen? But Jesus can make everything right in a nanosecond of time. And it's your job, it's my job, just with the unction. Point them towards Jesus. Amen? And say, Lord, let your glory shine through me. Let your love come through me. Nobody will be changed unless your light, your glory, your love is exhibited to them, because that's what changed me. I want to be that example. I embrace that die. I say yes to that die. Let it come out. Let no man despise thee, but be an example in word and conversation, which is behavior, in charity. In charity. Love covers what? A multitude of sins. Amen? You can forgive. I can forgive because love covered my sins. And I had a... And it's not you doing it, because Romans 5:5, put it in your heart. God sheds His love in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Come on. I talk about that scripture all the time. I know you get tired of hearing it, but I have to live by it. If I don't have that scripture, I don't like people. Okay? I'm just telling you. Y'all may not have these issues, but this boy's got issues. I've got struggles. I've got problems. Unless I'm leaning on the Word of God. Unless I'm trusting in that Word of God. Unless I'm letting that Word change my mind. All right. So this is not of you. This is all of Him. In word, in conversation, which is behavior, in charity, in spirit. Little s. You've got to learn. See, we put it all on God and say, oh, if the Holy Ghost gives me some doodads. You've got a spirit. And the Holy Ghost abides in your spirit. And whether you feel doodads or not, the Holy Spirit has already imparted in your spirit what is right and what's wrong. You know what to do. And the Bible says if you know what to do and you don't do it, I'm sorry. It's sin. Now, that's not to get us in a guilt trip, because we can repent. Amen? And step up and do the right thing the next time. But we can't make a habit of it. All right. I was getting bored with me. Let's go. Okay. He said, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. In faith. See, the battle is in your mind, is in my mind. You've got to have the Word of God to keep you in faith. And I get so many people that I talk to, and it's good. I love to read books. Amen. I love to read different people's books, and that's great. Christian books are good. Information. We need knowledge and all of those things. But, you know, you can't pray for faith. Faith comes by hearing what? Hearing is what? Present tense. So I don't care what you heard yesterday. It's what you've heard right now. Now, God has dealt, Romans 12:3, God has dealt to every man, every boy, every girl, the measure of faith. It's in your spirit. But you've got to renew your mind, Romans 12:2, to that, to be able to operate in it. Amen? Man, I don't know about you, but I'm learning some things that I didn't think about. All right. Lastly, in purity. You're to be an example in purity. Now, that's powerful. God said there was a dye on you that caused purity to be possible in your life and for you to come in contact with other people and bring purity to them. Oh, my goodness. See, Donna got saved and you know, she wanted to go to church so bad. I didn't want nothing to do with church. But she kept walking in this little bit of faith that she had developed. And there was this purity that was placed in her. Every time I'd get around her, I would start to see wrong and right. I'd never saw it before. I wasn't under conviction. Things didn't bother me. I'd done what I wanted to do, and it was fine. But I get around her, and that purity, all of a sudden, I start feeling uncomfortable. And then I start feeling like, hey, there's a better way to do this. See, that was that dye. That tupos, that example that was on her, it was starting to impact me. And it wasn't that she was in my face. She never, not one time, got in my face. All she did was say what was right and what was wrong in love. And all of a sudden, that started making me think, hey, there's something I think that's better. And because of God doing that, it's helped me so much to see how we can help people. You know, so many people want to tell people how wrong they are and what their future is. They know. We want to tell them what can be. Amen? Because that's what that very dye done for me. It showed me that things could be better. And when I come around each one of you, and you testify to me, or we just talk, we just fellowship. Maybe we hug each other's neck. That dye that's operating on you, all of a sudden, I feel it knock a little something off of me. Amen? I feel something that was a weight gone, and then I feel something come up inside of me, and I see something just a little different. I feel a little better. My mind's a little clearer, and I'm a little stronger. That's what we're talking about tonight. We've got to mind our mind. Amen? I could go, but we better quit. I want to quit with this one verse, though. Romans chapter 12. I want you to learn to do everything you do according to what God's put in you. Romans chapter 12. Look at what the Word of God says. Verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Come on, you don't want your nose to be hearing. You want your nose to smell. You want your ear to hear. Amen? You got, all right. Now notice this. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. Come on, that's us. And everyone members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth and endureth with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. In other words, everything that you and I do in the body, we do it according to God's grace. God's grace, as Brother Donnie said, is sufficient. It's enough. Amen? And so we mind our mind. When God tells you to do something, say, God, I don't know how to do it, but I know I've got the grace to do it. And since you're leading me in this way, I know it's the perfect way. So I'm going to mind my mind. I'm going to let your word have the final say in my life. And I don't care what the flesh says. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care who the devil brings in my life that I respect that would tell me something different. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stand on what you have said. Okay, I see that. Okay. Real quick, go back to 1 Timothy. I won't hold you, but this is coming to me. Let's notice what he said. He said, I want you to be an example in those things. But in verse 13, 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, till I come, Paul says, till I come, and we say till Jesus comes, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's what we just read. That's what we just read in Romans chapter 12 in different words. See, we've got these other things that were an example in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and in purity. But what do we give ourselves wholly to? To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Come on, I gave myself to the devil. I've gave myself to the world. I've gave myself to a lot of stuff. But I can give myself to good things by exercising my mind to it. Amen? Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I don't know about anybody else, but you have preached to me, and I am going to be forever changed. And I ask you right now that you would touch every person here and every lie that has been tormenting any individual, starting right here with myself. You know what I've been struggling with. Lord, let me exercise my mind. Let me allow your word to revolve round and round in my spirit and renew my mind to the truth, to the reality of what you would have for me, what you would have for each person here. Don't let one person leave here with any doubt, with any fear, with any concern. Let every person leave here built up in you. Let the questions that they have be answered tonight. It can only happen by your spirit lifting up Jesus. And we look up to him right now. Let it be, Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus. And we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar? Make yourself an altar at your chair and say, Lord, I want to mind my mind about some things that I recognize and realize that you brought to me tonight to where my life can have life, abundant life, the Zoe, the God kind of life. I don't have life in this area. Death is working. I don't have peace in this area of my life. And you said that my mind, if I was exercising it toward the things by the Spirit of God, that I would have life and I would have peace. And so I believe your report. I say amen to your report. And I'm going to use my tongue. And I'm going to say what you speak in my spirit. And I'm going to write a check that I know that Jesus Christ can back up, can cash. And tonight there's going to be some things different in my life. Now, whether you believe it or not, this is inspiration. I'm speaking to you that this is not the way I was going to preach this message. And I give God all the glory for it. And I thank him for it. Because I don't know, without Jesus, I don't know anything. But I'm his, and you're his, and he wants to do a work in our life. Would you come tonight? Would you come in the name of Jesus Christ? I want you to have the fullness. I want you to have the victory. I want you to have the peace like you've never had before. Would you come to spend some time with him? It's between you and him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can pray right where you're at, but talk to him. See what he would want to encourage you about tonight. Hallelujah. Glory.